at the 40.
4:47 to play. Hurts in the gun. On first down, he goes to Barkley. He breaks a tackle. He's on his way.
Uh-oh.
Here he goes. He's at the 40, 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown! Saquon Barkley, 78 yards.
That, of course, is the voice of the legendary longtime Eagles play-by-play voice, Merrill Reese, who joins me right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. I've had Merrill on the show many times over the years before a Skins-Eagles game, but never before a moment like this one, Merrill. I was counting. Tell me if I have this right. Is this your ninth conference championship game that you'll be on the call of for the Eagles?
Is that right? You do the counting. I don't. Someone told me I've broadcast over 700 games. I had no idea.
All right. By my count,
I never count. I just count the next one.
By my count, it's nine. Did you ever think at any point in recent years, anyway, that Washington would be an opponent for Philadelphia in an NFC title game?
Yes, when the ownership changed.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. That doesn't shock me.
Of all of the championship games that you've called, do you have a favorite or do you have one that's most memorable to you?
Oh, boy. Well, I guess the most memorable was the first one back on January 11th, 1981, where the Eagles were meeting the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game and Wilbur Montgomery exploded off the right side, and when everybody saw that number 31 disappear into the end zone, we knew the Eagles were going to Super Bowl 15. So there have been a lot of memorable ones. But there was a great one against Minnesota not too many years ago when the Eagles made big plays. Minnesota scored first, and then there on it, the Eagles just ran away with the game. That was Nick Foles.
Yeah.
And that preceded, of course, Super Bowl 52 and the Eagles Lombardi Trophy. So that was pretty memorable. But there's that one against Atlanta years ago where they stacked up Michael Vick to win the game. There've been a lot of them.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine the painful ones were the home losses, the years that you lost to the Bucks and the Panthers back-to-back years at home when there was a real expectation that the Eagles were the best team in the NFC those years.
Well, you know, not so much the Panthers. I mean, that was a bad loss. But the one with the Bucks was the final game to be played at Veterans Stadium.
Right.
And everybody told us that on a cold day when the temperature is under 30 or under 35, the Bucks can't win in Philadelphia. And they did. Unfortunately, it was Donovan McNabb's favorite target that day, turned out to be Rondae Barber.
So, not
that
good.
That pretty much sunk them right there.
All right, let's talk about now. How good are the Eagles right now?
Good. They're very, very good. They showed that again as they showed some guts and savvy and eked out the win over the Rams on Sunday. They're a good football team, Kevin. They really are. But so are the Commanders. The Commanders are an unbelievably good football team with a marvelous rookie quarterback, and they did everything right. I picked them, by the way, publicly to beat Detroit. That did not surprise me at all.
Why do the Eagles, Merrill, right now appear to struggle at times throwing the football?
Maybe it's more appear to struggle. It's an offense that is somewhat conservative. The key player on that offense, aside from the quarterback, is Saquon Barkley. He has had an unbelievable season. He is the best running back in Eagles history, and right now he is the best running back in the NFL. But really, Jalen Hurts does what he has to. I mean, you look at what he's done this season. He's completed almost 70% of his passes, and the big thing is he is so efficient with the football. During the regular season, he had 18 touchdown passes to 5 interceptions. And 4 of those interceptions were thrown in the first 4 games. Since then, since the bye after 4 games, he has been as perfect as you can possibly be in taking care of the football and leading this team. I think a lot of people underestimate him because he's not doing the spectacular things that that Jaden Daniels is doing, that Lamar Jackson is doing, that Josh Allen is doing. But believe me, he's a great quarterback.
I'll ask you about his health in a moment, but do you think that they're conservative because they rely this team more than any other in recent Eagles history so much on their defense?
Well, not just because of their defense. I think you can say conservative because it's more of a running. It's a run-first offense than a pass-first league. So you could use the word conservative there, but Nick Sirianni says we take what the defense gives us. The only number that matters is 16. They have won 16 games and lost only three.
So what is the word as of this morning on Jalen Hurts? What do you think?
I don't think anything. Nick Sirianni never tells us. The Monday press conference is, well, we'll talk to the trainers later and let you know as the week goes on. I have a feeling, this was just a feeling, that he banged up his knee or sprained something, but that he'll play, and that chances are he may be a little bit limited as far as the running game is concerned, but he'll be out there playing, and I think he'll be healthy enough to play well.
How important is it, Merrill, for Jalen to be healthy so that he can be a part of the run game?
I think it's important because with Jalen Hurts, they are plus one. When you have a plus one offense, you've got to account for him, and that opens up some things for Saquon Barkley. And of course, what he can do in the run-pass offense. You don't want it to be just the pass offense. It takes away the multi-dimensional part of the Eagles. But I have a feeling that Jalen will be able to move.
If Jalen is compromised, or if it's worse between now and Sunday, what's the confidence level in Kenny Pickett?
He played pretty well against Washington. I was kind of surprised that in listening to the different networks talking about the game after Washington won, and the Commanders will meet the Eagles, who they beat the last time they played them, they left out the little fact that Jalen Hurts was out for the last three quarters, and it was Kenny Pickett. And that was the first action that Kenny Pickett showed, that played in. That was his first action, real action, aside from, you know, maybe mopping up for a few plays at the end of games. But he's played this whole season. But Kenny Pickett is a very competent quarterback. He can move the ball. He can run a little bit. He can throw well. He's accurate. He's smart. But I don't think it's going to be Kenny Pickett this week. But if it is, he's not some neophyte or some shaky rookie. He's a solid NFL quarterback.
Where does this Eagles defense for you rank among the defenses that you've had a chance to call?
One of the best ever. There was one back in 1991 where the coordinator was the legendary Bud Carson, which was number one against the run, number one against the pass, and number one overall. That was the old, we're talking about an amazing, amazing defense.
Yeah.
And then going back with the buddy days with the guys like Reggie White and Jerome Brown and Seth Joyner and
Clyde Simmons,
Wes Hopkins and Andre Waters. I mean, they're great. And a guy who was a cornerback then and who is a finalist for the Hall of Fame, a six-time All-Pro by the name of Eric Allen, was part of that great defense.
He was pretty good.
Pretty good. But this defense, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to say something that would probably be viewed as outlandish, but I will tell you that I think that Jalen Carter could be, now we're still early in his career, but he could turn out to be the best defensive lineman that the Eagles have had since Reggie White.
Yeah, he's been dominant this year. How much of a difference did Vic Fangio make this year?
Big, big. You see it in the production. You see the way that he calmly makes adjustments. The players really believe in him. Everybody's on the same page. And not only that, one of the things that he did was, and you always hear, Kevin, you always hear the cliches. Coaches have to put players in position to make plays. He took a free agent acquisition who came over here expecting to be a part-time defensive player and a special teamer. And if he played on the defense, he'd be an outside linebacker. and he put him inside, and that's Zach Bourne, who is first-team All-Pro and continues week in and week out to make critical plays.
Yeah, I think the opener in Brazil was, if you watched it even just as an NFL fan, you said, who the hell is number 53?
Yeah.
He showed it right from the beginning. How much of a loss was the loss of N'Kobe Dean a couple of weeks ago?
I think it's significant. However, Oren Burks played very well in this game. He played solidly, and behind him, they have young Trot, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. And if he has to go in, he's very solid, too. He's as Vic said, he's got a bright future, and that future might be now.
So what do you think of this matchup? You said you picked Washington to beat Detroit the last time they played, which was a month ago. Jalen Hurts got hurt. That was a factor, no doubt. Washington also turned the ball over five times and still scored 36 points, which is kind of hard to do. So what do you make of this matchup going in?
What I make of it is it's a great matchup. It's a battle. It's a war. I think the Eagles, as far as points are concerned, are favored. I throw that stuff out the window. I think these are two teams completing excellent seasons, and one of them is going to be in the Super Bowl. But I think it's a pick 'em. I made a bold prediction on the air yesterday, or one of my pieces, where I said that based on the fact that Washington had five gifts from Detroit and the Eagles had two very big fumble recoveries against the Rams, the team that wins the turnover battle heads for New Orleans.
Is there any, Merrill, any additional excitement? You guys have gotten used to being in this, spot on this stage, but you haven't played a division rival in the conference championship game since the game you mentioned back in January of 81. Is there any additional juice because it's a division team?
Maybe there is. But just when you go to a championship game like this, there's so much juice. It's very difficult to rate juices, but of course, Eagles, Washington, that's big. That's a rivalry game, but anytime you're playing one of the NFC East games. So I would say there is a smidgen more juice, but it's sky high to begin with. When you get to the broadcast or play in an NFC championship game, it doesn't get better. It really, except the Super Bowl. And some of the championship games have been better than the Super Bowls.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this. You're the best. I appreciate it. I hope all's well.
Anytime, Kevin. I always enjoy being on with you.
Merrill Reese, everybody. The unmistakable voice of Merrill Reese. He will be on the call of his ninth conference championship game Sunday in Philadelphia. Washington playing in their sixth ever NFC title game. They played their first in 72 against the Cowboys, and then it was 10 years later before they got their next one against the Cowboys. The following year in 83, they played the 49ers. They played the Vikings in 87. They played the Lions in, they played the Giants in 86. They played the Lions in 91. What did I say? This is their seventh trip, right? Dallas, 49ers, Vikings, Giants, Vikings, Detroit. Yeah, this is their seventh trip to the NFC Championship game. They have won five of them. Only lost once, Washington has, in the NFC title game, and that was in the Meadowlands against the Giants after the 86 season, 17-0. That's also the only road NFC Championship game that they have ever played. Sunday will be their second NFC title game on the road. And as we mentioned the other day, they're fourth against a division opponent. There have only been five of these NFC East head-to-heads in NFC title games. Washington's been now in four of them. Denton's got some news, and I've got a couple of emails to write about PTSD, post-traumatic Snyder disorder. A lot of you have written in that you're just not able to handle this right now. Well, get over it. We got to, you know, man up here. We got an NFC title game on Sunday. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app, and I do want you to know that this is the time of year where your heating costs are skyrocketing, especially if you have older windows. This cold snap that we've been in, it has been a while, and it doesn't look like it's going to relent anytime soon. You're paying too much for your energy. Heating in the winter and air conditioning in the summer. If your windows are 10 years of age or older, you should be looking for new windows. And I have a recommendation for you, and that recommendation is Window Nation. Go to windownation.com right now or call them at 866-90-NATION. First of all, mention my name. They'll come out and give you an estimate, and it's free of charge, so you've got nothing to risk, nothing to lose. They're not going to pressure you after they leave you with that quote. You can shop it if you want. The deal right now that you'll get is 50% off all window and window styles, plus zero interest and no payments for 2 full years. So by the time you start paying for your windows, you'll be paying half price, and it'll be the year 2027. Window Nation's products are built to protect your home with top quality insulation and seals, and often outperform the expensive guys, so you'll save money on utility bills year round. Windows from Window Nation, they come with a lifetime warranty. They can be installed in a day or less. They've got an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau, and they've got over 33,000 five-star reviews on Google. You can trust Window Nation. This sale ends January 31st. Don't miss out on your chance to save 50% off all window styles. Plus, you could get zero interest and zero payments for 2 years. Schedule your free in-home consultation right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.